I had a situation where my father was constantly speaking down to me. Every time I would wear something that made me feel good, made me feel at home in my body, he would attack it. So I couldn't be myself around him. I couldn't be myself around my friends. I couldn't be myself at school, but I could be myself with that man, right? I could run away to LA every weekend and spend time in his studio where I was never attacked for wearing what I wanted to wear or expressing myself in the way I wanted to express myself. And what this man did is he waited until I felt like he was the only person in my life who saw me, supported me, and validated me. And then he took advantage of me. Hey guys, it's Kat and it's time for another episode of True Tea. I want to thank you guys for joining me for yet another episode of True Tea and the first one back on YouTube. Thank you so much for joining me for True Tea over the past couple of months. As we've changed formats, True Tea is now a podcast, and I appreciate those of you guys who have been patient with me as I explored new things. I think we have finally settled on a format and a schedule that I really like, and I wanted to share with you guys what is to come for True Tea before we get into this topic. I've decided that I want True Tea to be something monthly as opposed to weekly, so what we're going to do is we're going to upload a new video episode of True Tea every first Saturday of every month and host the call-in show the following Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you have something to say about this topic, keep it in mind for next week where we will be discussing the topic of this video. And boy, is it one hell of a topic. So as per usual, I would suggest you go to your kitchen and grab yourself something to drink. Personally, I am drinking an Arnold Palmer by Arizona Tea. Did you guys know that you can buy like big jugs of Arizona Tea? I'm recently discovering this, even though I certainly do not need more sugar in my diet, but I do enjoy a good old Arnold Palmer, so we'll let it slide. Anyway, I'm gonna take a sip of this and then let's get right into this conversation. Ooh, let's not spill the tea so soon, oh my God. So, can we talk about something? Recently, there has been an increase in antagonism against LGBTQIA plus folks in education. There is a bill in Florida that recently got passed called the Parental Rights in Education Bill. It's a bill that many are describing as the Don't Say the Gay Bill because it seeks to ban all conversations about gender identity and sexuality from classrooms between kindergarten and third grade. Now, it's important to note that sex ed is already banned in Florida, where this bill comes from. But this is a bill that is essentially targeting what many people on the right would describe as activist teachers, teachers who are essentially just not cis or heterosexual and acknowledge as much in their classrooms. People who support this bill support it on the premise that those conversations amount to grooming. And as a transgender woman who experienced grooming as a teenager, I have a lot of things to say about this because I think a lot of people are not calculating how rhetoric like this in all reality creates the perfect storm for groomers. Let's talk about it. Now, before we start this conversation, I want to start by saying that I do indeed feel quite uncomfortable with the concept of discussing sex with children. Personally, I don't think it's a bad idea to ban those conversations from, you know, children who are too young to even understand that sort of stuff yet, right? So on paper, I agree with this bill in theory, but I'm not naive enough to believe that this is a bill that's actually about protecting children. Now, if these laws were simply about banning all conversations about spouses or even particular ideas around gender from classrooms, I think I could probably get on board with it. However, it's really not about that. It's really about criminalizing teachers mostly who aren't cis or heterosexual. And we've already seen the impact of this across the country. There are many other states passing similar laws. There are several situations where teachers have been fired. There are even laws being passed where kids can't actually discuss their sexuality at school without it getting back to their parents. And, you know, for me, as a person who came into their understanding of self, especially during my teenage years, which, side note, even though that particular bill is about kindergarten to third grade, this has certainly influenced a lot of high schools across the country. As a person who really needed that sort of space and time to figure themselves out away from my parents, I really don't love the situation that this is probably going to create, which is one where students who are queer already feel far more alienated from their communities. And what frustrates me about this rhetoric is that it's using the fear of grooming, the idea of adults abusing children as this sort of, I want to say scapegoat, but I don't think that's the right word. It's using it to kind of win this argument, right? Like I said, I agree that kids shouldn't be talking about sex. I feel incredibly uncomfortable around people who express a cavalier attitude towards those conversations. But that being said, that's not really what we're talking about here. If a queer teacher is grooming their children by acknowledging the fact that they have a partner of the same gender, for example, it's also then grooming for a heterosexual teacher to acknowledge their wife, right? Or their husband, right? Now, if we were talking about banning all of these conversations universally, I would kind of be on board with you there. I don't think that a teacher needs to talk about their relationships or their life outside of the classroom. I don't think that's necessary for a kid to get a good education, right? But that's not really what this is about, is it, right? This is a very clear communication that queer people and their relationships are political, whereas heterosexual and cis people have gender identities and sexualities that are not. They are the standard. They are expected. And of course, I know the people who support these laws, promote these laws, are spreading these laws, are people who very much would support the idea of an overtly heterosexual cis person being a role model for their children, right? They view that as non-political, normal, what is expected, and everything else as other. And what messes me up again with this is that that's a very strange way of looking at grooming, right? As a person who experienced grooming, I know that a very central aspect of being groomed is isolation from your community. It's hard to groom a child who has people around them, adults, who are looking out for their well-being. Now, growing up, we had a GSA at my high school. We had a Gay Straight Alliance. And this was like a couple of kids. I don't think there were ever more than 10 kids hanging out in a room. The teacher was just sitting there grading papers, kind of just opening up their room, and we would all just hang out. There was no discussion about, you know, you need to be this way or that way. It was just a bunch of kids who were probably some shade of queer and allies who wanted to support, right? That's really all it is. I say allies in quotation because several of those allies later came out as some shade of LGBTQIA+. But I don't ever remember in that context a queer teacher influencing us in any way. We simply had a space where we could organize and speak and hang out, and that was kind of that. And that kind of community is so important for a lot of queer kids because you feel generally rejected by society, right? Most queer kids grow up with a very unique understanding of the fact that they are different from most people. And hey, this is reflected back to them when they have teachers who are heterosexual, when their role models never reflect who they know themselves to be, right? And I've often spoke about how for me, when I was younger and I had suicidal ideation, especially, a lot of that related to me having a really hard time imagining who I could be in the future, right? It's hard to be idealistic about where your life is going when you know that you are so different from everyone else that you can't even imagine existing in this world past a certain point, right? It's hard not to have those thoughts if you don't feel like there's a space for you in your community. When I was younger and I felt isolated in my own community, even though I had that tiny little Gay Straight Alliance to go to, I turned to the internet. right? I turned to the internet to find people like me. And I did find people like me, but I also found a lot of perverts. Perverts who were looking for kids just like me, who were not being watched by their parents, who felt rejected, who felt isolated, who needed someone, anyone in their lives to say that they are valid, right? And so what happened? I started having these private conversations with these creepy men. Eventually, I would end up meeting one of these men. He was able to see the exact void I had in my life and fill it, right? I had a situation where my father was constantly speaking down to me. Every time I would wear something that made me feel good, made me feel at home in my body, he would attack it. So I couldn't be myself around him. I couldn't be myself around my friends. I couldn't be myself at school, but I could be myself with that man, right? I could run away to LA every weekend and spend time in his studio where I was never attacked for wearing what I wanted to wear or expressing myself in the way I wanted to express myself. And what this man did is he waited until I felt like he was the only person in my life who saw me, supported me, and validated me. And then he took advantage of me. I won't get into the full story. If you've followed me for a while, you already know the story. I've told it several times on here. But long story short, I would not have been in that position if I had people in my community who I felt seen and understood by, right? The little GSA that I was part of was great, but it wasn't really what I needed. And when I think about what I would have needed back then to not be in the position that I was in, I think about how life-changing it would have been if I had a space where I felt that I could come and be myself. That's what I wanted more than anything back then. I wanted not to feel like I had to compartmentalize myself. Back then, I felt more at home with the man that was abusing me than I did within the actual house I lived in, the actual parents that raised me, right? I felt so much better being abused than I did being at home, right? And that's a position that a lot of queer kids are in. And unfortunately, when you support things like this that make it so that these kids can't express themselves at school, that they don't have teachers that support them outside of the home, that they don't have grown adult role models who tell them you are valid. There's nothing wrong with you. What makes you happy makes you happy. If that's who you love, that's who you love. When these people don't exist, you feel isolated from everything. And unfortunately, there will always be perverts on the internet who want to take advantage of that. I can only imagine that this kind of rhetoric is going to make stuff like this more common. And what's frustrating about that is that when the environment is one that is antagonistic towards queer folks, it's also one that makes it that puts queer people who are in positions where they're being exploited and abused in a situation where they are seen as less valuable. It dehumanizes them in a way where the abuse they experience is somehow not as bad. It's interesting because when I think about some of the older stories that I would hear about queer folks, it wasn't terribly uncommon for, especially during times where homophobia and transphobia was far more intense than it currently is even right now, where minors would find older queer folks who would on one hand give them support to be themselves, but would use that support that they gave them as leverage to abuse and harm them. What's fucked up about this is that, you know, there are people who are queer who do groom people, right? My argument is never going to be that, you know, queer folks can't ever groom people. That's not real or true. It's just that they're not grooming these people because they're queer and that their queerness on its own isn't what grooms people, right? It's the actions, right? But the point I'm trying to make is that at the end of the day, when you alienate a child, when you alienate a kid who is some shade of queer from their support systems, from the people in their lives who are supposed to care about them the most, their teachers and their parents, right? It just creates a situation where that kid is going to be looking for an older role model. And unfortunately, those role models might take advantage of them. I would so much rather a teacher who's being monitored by a school system be that affirming person over a person who is not being monitored in that way, over a person who is not going through all of those various checks and balances to make sure that they're not violating a child, right? I prefer the rainbow in the classroom over the person down the street who has that young man who comes over all the time, who he may or may not be abusing, right? I feel sort of silly talking about this because on one hand, I'm having this conversation in hopes that people will get that grooming is not exactly what they're describing it as. But I also know for a fact that these people are only pretending to care about this stuff, right? These people don't give a fuck about the queer kids who are exploited. Not really, because they would not be trying to fight for a situation where this would be more of a possibility, right? This would be more of a likelihood. I promise you that making it so that these kids can't be themselves anywhere is only going to push them further and further away from the people who are in their lives, who do indeed care about them, their parents, their teachers, etc., and into the arms of an abuser, of a person who knows that they can exploit the way that they've been rejected. And that's really what I wanted to say. That is truly what I wanted to say. You know, again, if we make this just about talking about sex with kids, I am totally on board. But you hear in the disdain that Ron DeSantis has in his voice when he says things like transgenderism, that this is a law put forth because he inherently has disdain for people who are LGBTQIA+, right? So I think people are being a bit silly when they try to make it so you want to talk about sex with kids? No, I don't think anyone is advocating for that. And we've already seen that it's not just that, right? We've already seen that in other states, there are teachers who just publicly acknowledged that they are in queer relationships who lost their jobs because they acknowledged their sexuality out loud, right? That's not the same as talking about sex with kids. I grew up knowing that my teachers had relationships. I grew up sometimes meeting the spouses of my teachers, right? If we are going to ban all of those conversations, I get it. I'm on board with you. But I know that that's not what's going to happen. What's actually going to happen is that we're only going to ban the queer ones because the heterosexual cis ones are the role models. That is what we should all be aspiring towards, right? And if that's how we're defining grooming, well, aren't we all groomed by cis hetero ideas? Right? If grooming is representing a thing, you know, to children that relates to somehow just gender or sexuality, well, most of us have been groomed throughout our whole lives to be cis and heterosexual. People aren't really wanting to talk about that because that's obviously not what grooming means. But of course, like I said, it's a buzzword that people try to use in these conversations to make it seem scarier than it actually is. Again, get why these conversations would be challenging to people, but that's not the same as grooming. But that's me giving way too much credit to the bad faith basis of this conversation. But anyway, I really want to hear from you guys how you feel about this. Please call in and give me your true tea. We will be hosting the call-in show on June 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I'm really looking forward to getting your guys' brew. Anyway, on that note, I will talk to you guys next time. Bye!